good afternoon, Namibia, and welcome to Family Dynamics right here on Eagle FM. Of course, this is a show the way we are centered on family-related stuff, hence why called Family Dynamics. Now, when we speak about family dynamics, one area where many people struggle and continue to struggle is marriage. Now, for some, marriage was entered without guidance, and for others, it was entered with expectations but without the tools to sustain it. And the truth is, when marriage struggles, the effects don't end with the couple. They ripple into the family and especially into the lives of the children. Now, a healthy marriage is not built on love alone. Love is important, but it's not enough to carry a relationship through its life's pressures. The marriage requires intentional effort, shared values, communication, emotional maturity, and a willingness to grow together. Now, when these qualities are missing, conflict becomes constant, resentment builds, and children often grow up witnessing instability instead of partnership. Now, of course, joining us are Pastor Stanley Lyatumba and Ms. Rhonda Lyatumba, who will be sharing practical insights, lived experiences, and faith-centered guidance on building strong marital foundations, sustaining family or healthy family dynamics, and raising values-driven children in today's world. A very good afternoon to you, Pastor Stanley Lyatumba, and welcome to Family Dynamics. Okay, pleasure is all mine. Very good afternoon to you, Miss Rhonda Lyatumba, and it's a pleasure to have you with us in studio.
We are happy to be here also. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to the listeners.
You know, first thing, when I need to tell the listeners that we have a couple who are living a beautiful marriage. And you know, when people are actually demonstrating, or let me say, when something is good, it can't be hidden. As much as you yourself are not trying to publicize it, it just can't be hidden at all. So your life, or your marriage has been illuminating light. And I believe that the Lord has been pulling it, left, right, and center so that people can benefit and people can actually realize that, hey, hold on. A good marriage is possible. A happy marriage is possible. A family filled with love is possible. So first and foremost, I think I want to start and find out who exactly is talking to us. Who is this couple that is talking to us? How long have they been married? When did they meet? How many children they have? Miss Rhonda, let's start with you.
Okay, so Mr. and Mrs. Lyatumba, it's Rhoda and Stanley. Okay. Uh-huh. We've been married for 25 years, and we courted for 7 years, so we've been together for 32 years.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got 3 children. The first one is 22, second is 20 mm-hmm. today.
Okay.
10, 20.
Congratulations.
And the last one is 15. He turned 15 on the 8th of December.
Ah.
But we also have 2 adopted kids. So
okay.
One is in the 30s, the first one. And then the other one is 24. So we've got 5 children.
Okay. That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Pastor Stanley, what do you have to say? Where exactly did you find this beautiful woman that has been with you for 25 years?
Yeah, it's been interesting.
Yeah.
We met 32 years ago.
Okay.
And how we met, it was just in a home environment. I remember correctly, my sister asked me to deliver some clothes for one of my in-laws.
Okay.
So I was going to see my in-law to deliver the bag. And so when I got there, and guess who welcomed me? It was her. She wanted to receive me.
I didn't receive you. You've forgotten.
No, yeah, it was not you.
Yes.
It was Diana.
Yes.
Okay, interesting.
Diana who received me. That was the first time.
Yes.
The first time it was Diana who received me.
Uh-huh.
And so I was welcome. I sat in the living room and I was listening to music. They got the parcel. And I was just about to go, and then she came in and offered me a cup of tea.
Okay.
So when I looked at her, I saw her, I was like, wow.
And that time, a young damsel offering me a cup of tea. Okay, interesting.
But the funny thing is, mm-hmm. I mean, that very time, I excused myself to go to the loo, and then whilst I was walking in the corridor, I mean, just heard a voice like, that's the one. Now, I don't know whether I was speaking to myself
or
God speaking to me,
yeah.
but it was so clear and loud, like that's the one. Oh, so I'm asking myself, I mean, I'm just here, I'm seeing this person for the first time.
Yes.
I don't know the history, I don't know where the person is from, I don't know where she grew up from. I mean, we're just meeting. But the conviction was, and so the more I tried to resist that,
yeah.
I mean, the more I was attracted to her.
Oh.
I mean,
yes.
That moment,
yes.
I found myself now visiting on my own. Visiting on my own to just go and see her. But then funny thing is, I'll go and see her. I'm looking forward like to hold on to this lady just to hug her.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll get there. She will not even hug me. I'll hug the friend.
Yeah.
Talk with the other person. Uh-huh. But for her, it was like, and no
go area.
And it stayed like that for almost a year. But we were magnetized.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I prayed and I bowed. At some point, I was even saying, is this how people fall? I mean, is this what love is?
I hear you.
And I resisted. But the more I did that, the more I was attracted.
Oh.
I mean, the more I looked forward to seeing her.
Yes.
And even my family, I think they realized something is going on.
Because
this guy, we've never seen him like this.
Yeah.
I remember sharing with one of the close friends and some mentors. Some of them were like, no, just be careful. You know these things. And the good part is that even myself at distance.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it was like I told God to say, if you show me, you give me a wife,
yeah,
I'll save you for the rest of my
life.
And so I was committed to that. And boom, it happened. But I felt like maybe it happened so fast.
Than you expected.
Yes, and so good. Like I was expecting it to come in a different way. Maybe in a church setup or a prophecy or this.
Yeah.
But here I am, boom, meeting a person. And from there, I clicked and we fell in love. It's a great feeling.
Pastor Stanley, I want to find out specifically, had you been praying for a wife before even meeting her and setting eyes on her?
Yes, I did. Okay. And in fact, you know, when I got saved in grade 9, 10, going to, I think my salvation was radical. I mean, I grew up in a religious home.
Yeah.
You got, they took us to Sunday school and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got saved, I think the hunger and the thirst for God was more. But I was tired
The
way things were being done and looking at the youths, they are going to church, people are going to church, but they are compromising.
Mm.
And for me, that was something I could not handle.
Mm.
So when I got saved, I was like, I don't want to be statistics.
Mm.
I mean, if I'm, and my prayer was like, I don't want women around me, girls around me.
Yeah.
I just want to know. I don't want tomorrow I wake up, would it be this one?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be that one?
Mm-hmm.
So my prayer was, I made a covenant with God that if you give me a wife, I'll save you for the rest of my life. And thank God. I mean, God answered my prayer.
Yes.
And she showed up. And trust me, I never looked left. I never looked right.
Wow.
My eyes were just focused. And I just started naturally serving God right from there on and focusing on God. And 7 years went by, like just a year. And one of the things I also vowed is that I'll never lay my hand on her. And thank God.
Prior to me, like beating her.
Beating him and even meeting sexual. So we courted for 7 years. We never met sexual. We did everything together. Pray, talk, do all kinds of things. Go to meetings.
Yeah.
Go to overnight.
Yeah.
Worship nights. But that was a no-go area. And thank God, she also had a similar stance.
Pastor, I love how your wife is looking at you the way you're telling the story. She's really looking at you like... Like, who is this person? You know when you are in love. And you'll be saying how they talk. But it's been 25 years, so I'm wondering, okay.
But it gets better. It gets better even. You know, it's like it's taking me back to the moment. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Mm. I love that. You know, I just appreciate that. I believe in marriage.
Mm.
As much as there is failed marriages around us and we are experiencing our own and stuff, I still believe that a marriage that is fulfilling God's purpose is still attainable, is still possible. Yes, regardless of the high statistics, you know. Must your own be among them now? No. Exactly. Exactly. So I believe in marriage. So I really want to appreciate that. But let's go back. First of all, Pastor Sandy, you spoke about you were praying. And I'm picking that you were not in a relationship already. Because I think for some people, they'll be asking for a husband. Mm-hmm. But I have a boyfriend or girlfriend on the side. Mm-hmm. And let's get to Miss Miranda now. Mm-hmm. Tell us about 7 years of courtship and staying true to your convictions. We're not going to engage in sex before marriage. Mm-hmm. Why was that very important that you honor your vows to God?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just like he said.
Yeah.
So first of all, his stance, maybe I would say mine was even worse. Like I put it out there to everybody. Like, this is my stance, friends and all that. It was verbalized. Now, and to God also, it was a vow. So my fear, I got saved also when I just went to grade 10. And then that particular time, there was somebody who was pursuing me. No, not yet.
Mm.
There was no one. I had a friend, a very good friend, close friend, a male friend that time when I went to grade 10. And I was just becoming aware of my erotic love or erotic feelings or something like that. You are trying to understand.
Yeah.
You are a teenager. Yes, you are trying to understand. Oh, so this is how I'm made. You are being attracted to boys and stuff like that. You start thinking about it. And at that particular time, when I went, I was also, I brought up in a religious home.
Okay.
So we grew up, you know, being taught the word of God, but it's that religion where you want to do the right thing, but you don't have a relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very difficult. You say, I won't tell a lie, but you end up telling a lie and you go to church. You get convicted.
Yeah.
Again, you say, but God, I even go to church. They say, don't do this. You do it and you feel so guilty. So at that particular time, it's that time when I was asking God, why am I like this? Why can't I overcome sin? So my first Sunday in grade 10, I went to a boarding school.
Yeah.
It was explained so well why I couldn't overcome sin, why I needed to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, why I needed to get born again, and how you overcome sin. And then from that time, I remember I didn't even know how to pray the prayer of repentance, you know, perfectly like Pentecostals pray.
Yeah.
But I was told to pray for myself and ask Jesus into my heart. I just prayed a simple prayer.
Yeah.
My prayer was, God, I want to be like Jesus. Because I saw Jesus could overcome all sin. He couldn't sin even when he was tempted.
Yeah.
And to me, that was the problem I had. So when I got saved, one of the things was we had another meeting after the Sunday I gave my life to Jesus. And then our seniors said something. They said something like, you know, this is a very important decision that you've made. Apart from this decision, now you are assured of going to heaven. But apart from this decision, there are other two major decisions that you are going to make here on earth that will determine how you live, the quality of life you are going to have here on earth, which is also very important before you go to heaven. So they said it's the career choice and also the person you marry. And then they explained, the career choice, you can make a mistake and still change your mind and go and, you know, study.
Rectify.
Wasted your time, but you can change anytime. But the person you get married to, especially as a Christian, you get stuck. You go into an endurance club where you just endure because you don't want to go against God's principles.
Exactly.
And you're going to be miserable.
Mm.
But
while you are there,
yes,
by saying going against God's principles, what are those principles for somebody who is in that frame that you're talking about in marriage? What are those principles? I know what you're referring to, but I want you to aid out for the person who's listening.
Okay. Like, for example, the divorcing You know, like God hates divorce. We all know what scripture says in Malachi. Like God hates divorce.
Yes.
And, you know, for Christians, you get stuck and we know what the
Bible says. Because you can't remarry.
Yes. We also know that, it goes on further to say if you get divorced, these are the conditions and all that and all that.
Mm.
So you, if you follow that to the core,
yes,
you don't want to do that and you end up being stuck.
Yes.
You know, in this marriage that is not good. And sometimes you end up, you know, opting out and you live with guilt. You think you did the wrong thing and all that. And so they explained and, explained all that. But then the thing of being hurt, you can opt out, especially the Bible doesn't say you can't come out, say.
There's provision for separation.
Yes, there's provision for separation, mm-hmm. even in marriage, like infidelity and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Even if there are conditions that you don't want to think about after that, that you can't meet, of course, after that. But even when you separate, you know, you are glued to this person.
Exactly.
You became one.
You're bound.
When you separate, there is that, you know, friction, that hate. No one goes away without the scars.
Mm.
So those scars. So I became afraid of that in a way that it pushed me to pray for the perfect will of God.
Mm-hmm.
They also explained about the perfect will of God.
Mm-hmm.
How is it is when God chose somebody for you and you go with that, how easy it is for you to live with them, and like going for somebody you just opt for, maybe they've got money and things like that, but it's not the will of God. God just, you know, because of your hard heart or whatever, stubbornness, God just says, okay, my child, there's nothing I can do. You've chosen. You've got a free will.
That's true.
He respects the free will so much. And I was afraid of my free will. So I started praying and I said, God, another thing was they told us, go, some of you have got boyfriends, go and break up. And to me, it was very easy because I wasn't committed to anybody.
I didn't have any boyfriend.
Yeah, it was very easy. I remember one of my friends, the two of us that day accepted Jesus together.
Yeah.
She even commented and I was so shocked. After the meeting, she goes, who says that? How can they say that? How can I go and break up with somebody who loves me? And then in my heart, the devil starts saying, for you, it's easy because you are not loved. But for me, it wasn't about that. I told the devil, it's about my commitment to God. So I vowed, I said, God, from today onwards, I won't look at these things the same way I looked at them. I'm going to keep myself pure for this person.
Yeah.
First to God, because I fear God. Mm-hmm. And I said, only my husband will touch me. I don't want to sin against you. Because I reacted to what she commented and I said, this person is not serious.
Mm.
You accept Jesus. Me, I'm running away from sin, being defeated by sin.
Yes.
And you are like, you know,
holding on to it.
Yeah, holding on to it like it's something nice.
Mm-hmm.
So from that day, I said, for me, I'm going to keep myself pure. I remember when I prayed and I think we went for prep, you know, to study in the evening, and I'm praying to God. I'm saying, God, as for me, I'm going to keep myself pure until I get married.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fear of getting the wrong person, because we saw also in churches, like he said, my husband said, people were Christians, but they were not living right. They were compromising, impregnating each other. And I would say, but I don't want to be like them.
Yeah.
And this is now where I prayed. I started praying and fasting for the right partner in grade 10. And I'm not ashamed to say so. Not because I was desperate.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
It was just because I wanted to get the perfect will of God.
And to get it right early.
Yes.
Speak to, I think a lot of people become ashamed, even in their adulthood, to pray for marriage. But if we can pray for a house and be so open about it and vocal about it, even to the public out there, and pray for a car, but then secretly they don't want people to know that they are praying for a spouse. Is that something to be, and I love how you said, church made it clear that if you miss it in the line of career, in the life of marriage, that's another area which could obviously hinder your going to heaven. So speak to us about also those, especially to those who feel ashamed to even say that they are praying for a spouse.
Yeah.
Maybe I can come in to add on that.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong about praying for a spouse. And remember, the feelings we have, the hopes we have, the desires we have, it's God who gave us.
Yes.
And in fact, in his word, he makes provision that if we delight in him, he'll grant us the desires of our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So desiring the right partner, it's a good thing.
Yes.
Because you're not asking to say, I want to go into an abusive marriage.
No.
You are looking for somebody who God has meant for you.
Mm.
And you know, here on earth, each one of us, God has prepared. Like my wife was talking about the will of God, and permissible. God has given that leeway. So we can choose, just like we choose to love somebody.
Yeah.
And you can choose not to love somebody. So there's nothing wrong in praying for a partner. Mm. As a matter of fact, it's always good to be proactive. Because then you can make the corrections before you make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look out for who is the best and what is the best. And you have enough time to consult God and be certain. And remember like the testimony I gave, one of my prayers was that I didn't want to, I meet this good person, could this be the one?
Mm.
I meet another person.
Yes, yes.
I meet this intercessor, I meet this singer, I meet this very good person. Then I'm confused. Mm. Could this be the one?
I know if a brain is like that.
I want to be confused like that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be certain that this is the one. Mm. So this is why I prayed and said, if you give me a wife. I didn't even pray for a girlfriend. I didn't even pray for a best friend. I prayed for a wife.
Mm.
And looking in hindsight now, sometimes I think, what was going through my mind?
Yeah.
Why would I mean, I'm just a teenager.
Yeah.
Why would I be talking about a wife?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a thing that I couldn't even have a conversation with my parents to say, I'm praying for a wife or I want a wife.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just something that was within me because of the then environment and things that were happening.
Mm.
So nothing wrong with us praying for our partners. As a matter of fact, it also shows our commitment because it now helps you to prepare yourself for that partner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as much as I was praying for her, I needed to be the right partner.
That's true.
To work towards that so that I should be a very good partner to her that will not just waste her time, but also point her to God.
Mm.
Two decisions I've made in life is that anything that happens in my life, it either should take me to God. If it doesn't take me to God, then it's not based in my life.
Wow.
And so even for marriage, that was my thing.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to get a wife, they should take me closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
If they take me away from God, then I know it's not God.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I met her with her zeal and the vows she had made to God and the things she wanted to do for God, those were catch points for me. I just realized to say, this is the right person. And that's how I gave her Job 31,
mm-hmm.
that I even made a covenant with God myself that I'll never lay my eyes at a damsel.
Mm.
So until I was scared because you know some scripture is very plain and harsh. Like he who looks at a woman lustfully commits sin.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, to me, those things will scare me. Like you look at somebody.
And just like that, you are registered, you slept with them.
Yeah. So I think that helped me not my eyes to be all over or to be everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that female friends would go to the same scripture union, would go to the same fellowship, go to the same church. I was not so much. It's like I'd switched off to such. I was just open to what God was going to give me, a wife of my youth, somebody I was going to love, somebody I was going to respect, somebody I was going to devote my life to. Because I was asking myself, this person I'll spend the rest of my life with them.
Mm-hmm.
So am I willing to be naked before them?
Mm.
Am I willing to be open before them? If I'm not, then I might not even take that step.
So
it's right to pray
for a marriage partner. Marriage.
And also to verbalize our desires.
Mm.
This is scripture. The Bible says we need to make our desires known to God. And it's God who will tell us, no, this desire is wrong, this desire. He will give us what is right. And God will never answer a wrong prayer. He will only answer a right prayer.
That's
and
true.
So for me, I believe it was God responding to my prayer for a wife.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't understand what a wife was then, but
at least you do now. That's wonderful.
Maybe I can add on that.
Actually, we have a scheduled commercial break coming up. So, Mommy, reserve that one for after. Right. Thank you so much. So, we pause here now for a commercial break. But we'll be back shortly. We're just getting started with this interesting conversation. Do tell a friend to come near their radio or perhaps to tune in via the website or the Eagle FM app. We'll see you after the commercial break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Get extra big savings for an extra special Christmas at WB. Like 2 liter Oros, now only $37.99. 750 gram Crossen Blackwell Mayo for $37.99. 10 kg Buck Pro Fat Cook Flour for $139.99. And 2 kg Surf Hand Wash Powder for only $48.99. See all our December specials online at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoe ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna.
And of course, we are back. You are tuned into Family Dynamics right here on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. Trust us here at Eagle FM to bring you the topics that are necessary. I mean, it's December. A lot of marriages are taking place and some are scheduled to take place in January. Some have already taken place in October, in August, and all this month. It's a season of marriage. And now we want those couples and even those ones that have been married for long already to just remind them about what is actually needed or the foundation that is needed to have a good marriage. Hence why we have marriage counselors deliberately brought in the studio for this particular topic and this particular conversation. I'm talking about Pastor Stanley Ryatumba and alongside his wife, Miss Rhonda Ryatumba. They are marriage counselors and living that example. And it's so very necessary, I think, Pastor Stanley and Miss Rhonda, that those who are marriage counselors emulate such an example. I know we can't restrict it to that. We still have other people who may not be married who can be very good counselors, like the example of Paul in the Bible. But then again, also just having the couple themselves as an example speaks more, I think, than the words themselves. So, Mom, you had something to say before our closing?
Yes, I wanted to add to the answer that my husband had given about why people don't want to pray for their marriages.
Mm.
And I would answer with maybe why we should pray.
Okay.
Because God is the one who's got, who knows, he's got plans for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe when each one of us was created, just like Adam, he had an Eve for them. So that is what I call as a perfect rule. But like I said, he also gave us the gift of, free will,
mm-hmm.
where we can choose. And mm-hmm. he cannot force if we choose not to obey his word. If he yeah. brings me a short person
mm-hmm.
and my desire, because of maybe society and which family I'm coming from, I want to get a tall person.
Yeah.
I'll refuse and say, not me. But if you pray for the will of God, it's him. You trust him. Like, I trust your plans. I trust you know the best. And he gives you that particular person. He also gives you the peace to accept that person and you don't go against it.
Yeah.
I think you are setting yourself up for success because you are going with the will of God. Now, some people don't want to pray because they are scared of the
will of God.
Like, what if God says it's this one and this one is so short?
Yeah.
Some people, it's like that, uh-huh. especially for Christians. Mm. And they just want to go by what they've listed.
Mm-hmm.
And they call it faith. I want a top person. I want the person who's driving. They don't want to listen to the other side. God says, your person is still in grade 12. Mm. You are also in grade 12.
Yeah.
They are looking at maybe some people who are already done, you know, with their grade 12.
Yeah.
But so sometimes we are scared to obey God, but sometimes it's also because of their intentions, their hearts, their posture before God.
Yeah.
Somebody is not even connected to God, but they want to pray for I'm praying for
a child of God,
man of God or something like that. I'm praying for a husband, is like they are looking for a boyfriend to sleep with. Their intentions are not okay. They are desperate for sex,
yeah.
for example.
Yeah.
So people are afraid to even come before God. How do you even come before God and pray?
Yeah.
So some people don't want to pray for many reasons. I prayed because I was afraid. That fear, instead of me being affected by fear, it gave birth to faith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God can give me the perfect person who won't lead me away from God.
Mm-hmm.
Because another thing they emphasized, my senior friends, was if you marry a non-believer, it's very difficult for you to lead them. Remember, this person can only be changed by God. And you choose an unbeliever who's not willing to follow the will of God,
yeah.
and they'll make your life miserable. So, you know, they gave us scriptures like, do not be unequally yoked with non-believers and stuff like that. And I believed the word, just the way it was.
Yeah.
So I was free to pray to God because my reasons were okay.
Yeah.
I feel maybe that's why people don't want to pray, but there's nothing to be ashamed
of.
You have to pray for your partner. For me, pursuing the perfect will of God made me pray for a partner in grade 10. I'm already praying.
Fasting as well. Wow, yes. That is wonderful.
Because I don't want somebody who's going to lead me into sin.
Yes.
Like, they convince me to go against my vow.
Yeah.
You know, the vow I made to God.
Yes.
And I was just scared for somebody to just come and mess up my life.
Yeah.
And we were even told, even if you are not a virgin, once you come to Jesus Christ, you know, he purifies you.
Yes.
And you know, they painted a picture of, you know, that white garment on you
that
you mess up when
you stain it.
You stain it. And all that. And I wanted my garment to be clean. I said, I'm going to give to keep myself pure.
Yeah.
And this man, no matter how long we are going to court, he shouldn't touch me.
Mm.
So that was the thing. So also looking forward, like, to a good marriage, because I knew if our foundation was shaken that time, laid on sin and stuff like that, fornication,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't going to be a good marriage, mm-hmm. you know? So that's why I prayed.
Mm-hmm. If the foundation be out of course, what is the hope of the righteous?
Exactly.
Or what can the righteous do? So, right. Mm-hmm. The foundation is so very, very important. Mm-hmm. Now, who would have thought that this couple were courting for 7 years,
mm-hmm.
now later got married and be together for 27 years? Who would have thought that they are going to be marriage counselors?
Mm-hmm.
their marriage is going to be an example to many. Who would have thought? And looking back, at your foundation, what you laid, if you had missed it, if you had, as much as you're very, you jealously keeping that your white garment, if you had stained it, I don't think you'd be sitting in the studio. Of course, you may still be married to him, but then you wouldn't have that passion and that boldness to speak about the foundation that you laid. So I think at this point, I would want you to speak to that particular one person at home. I know of a friend of mine who had two kids with two different dads, and she made a deliberate decision to say, I don't want to be in this boat again. I don't want to be in the same situation again. So I'm going to be celibate, or is it celibate? And she has been. So I think at this point now, Miss Rhonda, I would want you to speak to that young lady or to that adult woman who's at home, whether she has four kids with four different dads and still wants to have a turnaround and still come to the knees, to her knees and ask for a spouse. Is it still possible for her?
Yes, I believe it's possible because God is a God of a second chance.
Yeah.
Just like I said, even when we were coming to Christ, it's not like in all areas you were pure. That's why we came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we could have just stayed that way. We would have thought, we are okay.
Yeah.
If I wasn't struggling with defeating sin, I wasn't even going to be so excited about, you know, me getting saved when I hate the gospel, when I hate the power that is in Jesus Christ, in the blood and the power of the Holy Spirit to defeat sin. I wasn't going to be excited. But then it's because of that. It's because God can change anything, you know, that is placed in his hands. There's, you know, there's potential, there's chance, and people shouldn't give up hope. You know, you might have been in a failed marriage, but I believe you are not doomed. I don't believe God seals it and say, because you were married before. I don't know, but I don't believe in that.
Okay.
God can still turn around situations. What if the devil trapped you? Honestly, does it mean you are doomed forever? You didn't listen. You went against God's word. Does it mean you are doomed forever? No, there's a turnaround.
Okay.
God can still give you something beautiful. You don't give up hope. There is hope in Christ.
Nice. Yes, please.
God of a second chance. That is what many people sometimes tend to forget, that, okay, I've messed up, I've sinned, so I'm not worthy to come before God. You see, God loves us and he wants to embrace us. I mean, it says, come unto me, all those of you who labor. He doesn't look for perfect children, perfect, I mean, Jesus came actually for us. So he's a God of a second chance. So even if one has messed up in a relationship, or you are not a virgin anymore, like she said, when we come to him, he purifies us. He imputes righteousness on us so that we're in a good place to communicate and talk to him.
Yeah.
And that's why he says, forget the former things.
Yes.
And that is not to lose our memory that we were once in that, but we make a deliberate choice to say, I am moving forward. I am now a changed person.
Mm-hmm.
I want God to be my number one in my life.
Mm.
So, and the Bible says, make your request known to God.
Yeah.
Through prayer and supplication. So if we messed up, we need to come back to God.
Okay.
He's a God of the second chance. Look in the Old Testament. David could have, I mean, who God comes and says, this is the one who's after my own heart.
Yeah.
And look at the life of David. So many times he fell.
Yeah.
But the good part about him is that he quickly ran back to God.
Yeah.
Look at Solomon. Solomon was a child born out of wedlock.
Yes.
And scripture records one of the richest kings even today. And if God did not give him a chance, it would have meant we all wallow in our sins. We all go back in the drain of sin. But God loves us so much that irrespective of our situation wants to come.
Yeah.
I mean, he wants us to go to him.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we made the wrong choices in marriage, we made the wrong choices in upbringing, our parents made the wrong choices, God still loves us when we turn to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just wanted to come in and say, he's a God of a second chance.
Yeah.
And he is not looking for perfect children or perfect Christians, but he's looking for imperfect kids that he can perfect himself according to his nature.
Miss Rhonda, let's get into those, I don't want to call it tips. Let's get into those, maybe sayings that really sustain a marriage. One thing I want you to begin with is the fact that you listen so attentively when your husband is talking. So now I know for a lot of women and for a lot of wives, the husband will be talking and then she's interjecting and all that kind of stuff. So begin to tell us, what are those qualities that a woman ought to possess that can make her marriage such a good one?
Yeah. I think the first and the most important thing that if you miss it, all other tips will be useless is you taking up the role of a wife. You understanding actually the role of a wife, because sometimes we go into marriage and you don't understand what you are going to do. You don't go in there to experiment. You have to go there with understanding. When you go there to experiment, you hit walls, you be hit here and there, but you have to go there with knowledge.
Yeah.
And this is what I thank God for, that we were prepared. Mm-hmm. I think you maybe just going back a little bit, you commented about who would have thought that you'd be marriage counselors. You know, we had people, we were surrounded by people who helped us, and then we developed a passion to help others.
Oh.
We saw how people were breaking up, first of all, in, you know, just in their courtships and all that, and would wonder, but why, if they love each other, what can they work through? And that made us develop this passion to just help others. So we started helping people in our courtship already, when we started courting.
Okay.
We are helping others, you know, navigate through their issues.
Yes.
And some others still separated, some, you know, built stronger relationships and they even got married.
Yeah.
So it started from there.
Okay.
But we also had people we looked up to. We were counseled ourselves. We went through a program, premarital counseling, for how long?
6 months.
It's
mandatory, ne?
In our church, yes.
No, but in life as well.
Yes, yeah. It is. It should be a must.
For us now, as counselors, we've come to a point to say, for any marriage, it's a must to go through counseling.
Yeah.
Not because there are problems, but we prepare. No, because marriage is the only institution. Oh, hold on to your point.
Marriage
is the only institution that you are given a certificate at the beginning. But look at it. We only want to become an engineer. You want to become a nurse. We go to school. And you are prepared. Sometimes we do programs, 3 years, diploma, degree, 4 or 5 years. You even go on master's and whatever it is.
Yes.
Because we want to be perfect in that. But when it comes to marriage, like she's saying, we need to also go in with knowledge. And part of that knowledge is in being intentional.
Yes.
You go through how you are going to handle your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are in it, some of the things that could have not been covered, they become now practical.
Mm-hmm.
You still ask the question and you are still guided. There will be mentors, there will be people around you that will be able to guide you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's very, very important to really invest in knowledge and to invest in counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And
prior to the marriage.
We don't go to school because we are going to fight in school. No, we go to school to learn and to write. When an opportunity comes to write, it's easy for us to write. It's easy for us to express ourselves. It's the same with marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Go for counseling. Bring whatever. When you're in marriage, it will be easy for you to navigate.
True.
And jail with your spouse or even with other people who are married.
True.
Yes. So understanding your role also is very important. You know, most of the times when we apply for a job, we understand what we are going to be doing there. We even write up CVs. But when we are getting married, we don't want to take time to, you know,
prepare.
To understand and prepare and just understand your role. And this is one thing. When it comes to marriage, people think, as women, when we talk about submission, I don't know how people look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe people look at it as slavery or something like that,
yeah,
but I don't look at it like that.
Like...
I look at it from the beginning, the way God created us, you know. When we get married, the Bible says they were both naked and they were not ashamed. Talking about transparency, not just in their body.
Okay.
You know, you are transparent. You live as one and they became one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I understood, okay, we are going to become one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
How do I become? So you go into details. How do I live with this person, become one flesh? We are going to become one flesh. How do we live then? And the Bible says I should submit.
Mm-hmm.
So in which areas do you submit?
Mm-hmm.
Again, you have to look at that. you have to look at that. How do you submit to this man?
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of the times, people look at it like, okay, I'll be slaving for him and that, but submission is not like that because the Bible also talks about, first of all, submitting to one another. So once you understand that we are going to be submitting to one another,
mm-hmm.
and you find a husband who understands that, it becomes very easy. But also, as a position, you understand it. This is how I understand it. As a position, just like at work, you know, you've got your manager, you've got a deputy. For example, you are a deputy to somebody. It doesn't mean, they do everything because they are the managers.
Mm.
I understand what I'm supposed to do. It doesn't mean, you know, sometimes you complain. As wives, we do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But look at it at work. Deputy, you know, even the deputy president, I'm sure does a lot, but it's the president who, you know, who gets that, you know, the limelight. Or you can even, the donkey work is done by the deputy, but you know, the boss will just go and read the findings or whatever the report, you know. But this is what I understood, like as a woman, I understood what submission meant.
Wow.
And submission also didn't mean, even when it comes to his role of provision, providing and all that, it doesn't mean he should provide alone.
It
means I should take everything I have and submit to the marriage, including my money, including, you know, when the Bible says respect, I have to respect him the way he wants to be respected, not the way other men want to be respected, you know. So that's the thing. I understood my role as a, if I can call it, as a deputy who's got somebody above me. and you know,
deputy president.
No, I want to put it in the language, yes, in the layman's language.
Mm.
So when again, as a helpmate, like he said, as a helpmate also, it doesn't mean you are a slave. Look at Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 woman, and that encourages me a lot. Look at what she does. She does a lot.
Yes.
And she makes the man look so good and all that. But she's the one providing.
Yes.
So we struggle. Most of the times we struggle with those things, especially our role as women, and especially with feminism nowadays.
Yeah.
And then we think we should fight for our rights. Yes, there is a place, but I think we've misunderstood.
True.
When it comes to marriage, we have to understand the difference.
Mm-hmm.
We can't bring that femininity in a way they are taking it, you know, extra.
Overboard.
Yes. Mm. You know, we have to understand the way God designed marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So that one, if you submit to a man, and when I mean submission, people think it's, you know, or maybe the way I crawl, kneel before him. It's not that. And that's where we miss it as ladies most of the times.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand what it means to submit, but everything, all other tips that I can say comes under that.
That's
and
true.
Whatever you do, your support to him, helping him in all areas, you know, comes under that submission. Once you understand your role of submission as a woman, you can help him so much. And the thing is, you live as one. Yeah. So it doesn't feel like you are two individuals, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Once you come to that point where you live as one, I think it's very easy.
That's true.
Yeah. And whatever you do is to make your marriage work. Whatever you earn is for your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So you come to a place where you don't even struggle, even as a woman.
That's true. You know, I recently met a friend of mine. We've been friends, distant friends. He lives in another place. So now I finally got to meet him and he's married. And he was telling me that, but it's as if he said it with a little bit of hiding or a bit of, I don't know if he was comfortable to say it. So he said, my wife handles our finances. And I say, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm.
And then, he says that, the thing about women being submissive to their husbands, the men become so soft. He lets you do everything. And it's because you have been so you became so submissive to him that he can fully trust his life with you. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the area where a lot of women really miss it, in the area of submission. They really, really miss it. And I want to say that I don't think culturally also, we are being molded as young girls. We are being told that as a wife, you need to submit to your husband. I don't think that is, I've only come to hear this word as I became a Christian also and in church. But at home, you never really hear that. When you do become a wife, you need to submit to your spouse. You need to submit to your husband. And submission, like you're saying, mommy, is not slavery. I think that's where they also miss it. Pastor Stanley, what's your stance on this?
Yes. You see, we came from God.
Yeah.
And if there's anything we're going to do, we need to go back to Him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, many people feel marriage is strange because they have no connection to the source.
Yeah.
Because if we're going to understand marriage, we need to go back to the source.
Mm-hmm.
Where did marriage come from? What was the purpose? What was the intention of marriage? And even with our parents, like you rightly said, growing up with their parents, some of the parents never had an opportunity to know God, or even to know what the Word of God says. The Word of God is universal everywhere on planet Earth. And this is why for us in our marriage relationship, we have taken the word literally. And so that it helps us. If there are certain cultural norms or values that are inhibiting the Word of God, inhibiting our growing, inhibiting the love, it must come in subjection to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for instance, just to talk about temperaments, I mean, we know science has taught us in terms of personalities, we are different. There are those who are sanguine, very bubbly, talkative. There are those who are choleric, leaders by nature. There are those who are melancholies, very deep in thoughts. Before they make a decision, they must have calculated and done all that. We have
phlegmatics.
The phlegmatics, the peacemakers, and the like.
But sir, that's a topic on its own. I'm just saying.
Yes.
And another day, it's a topic on its own.
Now, just in that, we are different. And if we misunderstand each other, we may end up fighting. But even if you are one of that, how does that reflect in the Word of God? If me being a melancholy or being a choleric is against the values of God, I need to be guided.
Yeah.
So I cannot say I'm like this, you see. And so I'm saying this to bring it to try to answer the question you talked about in terms of where we're coming from. Some of these things were never taught in homes. Even our parents also grew up, they were never taught about marriage, they never taught, and whatever was obtaining in that society or that community is what they grew up knowing and doing.
Mm-hmm.
So now you come and talk about submission.
Mm-hmm.
You come and talk about love your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
It was a strange thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in some societies, it's like you loving your wife, it's like it's a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you must remain anonymous.
She probably did some witchcraft power.
Exactly. If you show love, yes.
Or she did something.
Yeah.
Our son is under pit control. He's been controlled.
Exactly.
By all that.
Yeah.
But where genuine love is, there's nothing like feeling control. My wife said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, they were both naked and they were not ashamed of each other. You can stand literally transparent before your spouse without being ashamed.
Yeah.
And these are some of the values we're never taught.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes we're taught, oh, the kitchen is
for the women.
For the women. The field is for men. But let's face it, when you go, even now, in the world, you travel to the best hotels, who are the cooks?
It's a man.
It's a man. So now, does it mean that you can go and work and cook when I come home? If I cook, then I'm under fit for government.
No.
But with the employers, it's not that I'm under, it's a career.
It's
a thing that you are good at.
Yeah.
So we really need to navigate also and come to a place we see, what does the Bible say about marriage? What does God view marriage? What is God's perception? So even when it comes to that submission, and this is what people are missing.
Mm-hmm.
The first time in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20-21 there, before the Bible talks about the woman submitting wholly
mm-hmm.
or a man loving the wife, it says, submit one to another. So in other words, you must have mutual respect. You must understand each other.
Yeah.
You must be connected.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's that no mutual submission to each other,
mm-hmm.
how would she submit totally to me? Mm-hmm. How will I love a totem? So it begins there. And that, the Bible, the way it puts it, it's connected to the reverential fear of God.
Yeah.
The reverential fear of Christ. I mean, the honor of Christ. And when we put God in the picture, it becomes very easy for me to love her. I mean, the Bible challenges me to say, I should love her the way Christ loves me.
Yes.
Now, imagine the way he loves me with all my weakness, with all my flaws, with all my imperfection. But he still loves me. So, I can love her with all my imperfection.
Actually.
I didn't marry an angel.
Yes.
I married a human being.
And you are not an angel yourself.
Exactly. Yes.
You know how we always want the next person to be an angel?
Yeah.
But you're not an angel yourself.
Exactly.
And God picked two imperfect people.
True.
Who he is perfecting. But one thing we agreed from the beginning is that despite us being imperfect people, we have been praying, we're looking forward to a perfect marriage that God has there.
Yeah.
We've seen of worst examples. So why not choose the good one? We don't want to be statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Why not be the good one?
Yes.
And in the process, why not propagate the good one and help our people out there? So the fact that there are failed marriages, there are bad marriages, doesn't mean we should all fail.
Mm-hmm.
We should be like that.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, it's about choices. God has given us this free will.
Yeah.
I can choose to be bad today. But is that the way God made me to? No, it's just a choice I've made.
Mm-hmm.
But I can also choose to come back to God and say, I want things right.
Mm-hmm.
So submission is not slavery. It becomes slavery when we now look at it in hindsight and in history.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, in our case in Namibia, we are coming from apartheid.
Yeah.
So if that trauma or those things are still there, it's very difficult for somebody to submit. They are reminded of like it's slavery, but it's not. And when you look at it in marriage, it should be looked at in the context of marriage, not like the other being is higher than you.
Mm-hmm.
We are all created equal before God.
That's true. Regardless of men or women.
Yes, he created us male and female. And so he's the one who brought in the distinction of who should be female, who should be male, and how together we should be able to be one. And I like God's model of family, God's model of marriage. Is that he makes Adam and Eve, and he blesses them. He empowers them to succeed. So within every marriage, within every individual, there's potential for us to succeed.
Yes.
So why not pursue that success?
Interesting.
And so after the fall of man, a lot of things happened in two men. And then Jesus comes. His first message, what does he say? Blessed are the poor in what? In spirit. I mean, he knew that we are lacking in so many ways. So we needed God. We needed to be united. Imagine those 5,000 men that were there.
Yeah.
They had all different issues.
Mm-hmm.
Others, it may be relationships. Others, maybe it was financial. Others, it was maybe addictions. But we all have an opportunity to come to God.
True.
And the same with marriage. And this is why we are strong proponents of godly marriages and godly homes. Because if we can instill godly values in a home with our own families,
yes,
and these family members of ours are going to marry, and they take those values, we are going to end up having a better society. And we still have to continue also sharing this journey of marriage and of love to help others. And trust me, if those godly values are instilled in homes at the tender age, we'll be talking about the better society.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. I keep saying that as well. Now, Pastor Stanley, what characters or traits should a husband who wants really a godly marriage or wants a marriage that is bringing also forth fruit, wonderful fruits of children who are well-grounded with high ethical moral values, what qualities should that husband actually possess?
I think the first one is what the Bible talks about, that it talks about how Christ loved us.
Okay.
So I need to establish a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because I don't know this marriage. I was just born just like any other family.
Yeah.
I have no idea and how it will end and where it will take me.
Yes.
But I know there's somebody who knows even the future.
Yes.
So I need now to connect myself to him. I mean, even to date, I still have to ask God, how should I go? I mean, when we were young, we loved each other at that level.
Yes.
And we've learned that actually marriages go through seasons.
Yes.
So I have to ask God, I'm in this season in my marriage.
Yes.
How do I handle her?
Okay.
How do I handle my children?
Okay.
So the first thing is to connect back to God. Mm-hmm. Trust me, without God, there's no way I can take her, there's no way I can take my children, mm-hmm. there's no way I can take my family.
Mm-hmm.
So the second thing is, if I have that fear of connecting with God, the second thing is, I need to have the knowledge how to navigate in this marriage.
Mm.
The Bible says, in Hosea chapter 6, 4 or 4, 6, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to be intentional to study marriage,
mm-hmm.
to study materials on marriage,
mm-hmm.
and all that. Because sometimes we're just exposed to about negative marriages and the like.
True.
But we're never told about the good part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of good examples of marriages
mm-hmm.
in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
With examples in society. So, get the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is be intentional
mm-hmm.
to love your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Be intentional to raise a godly family.
Wonderful.
The Bible says in Malachi that God is looking for a godly seed.
Yes.
Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15.
Yeah.
And so we are just custodians. We are just vessels that God uses to raise children.
Mm-hmm.
So we are privileged that God has given us those 5 children to raise them up, because he's looking for godly seed. But how do we raise them up in a godly way if we ourselves don't have a relationship with God? It's impossible.
Good question.
And it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So we, as a husband or as a head of the home,
yes,
I not only should connect with God,
mm-hmm.
I should seek knowledge,
mm-hmm.
but I should be intentional.
Mm-hmm.
I will try. Sometimes I fail.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm not the best husband.
Yeah.
I'm not the best partner.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? As I learn, as mm-hmm. I develop, I become better and better and better. And of course, I'm privileged to be married to a wonderful wife
mm-hmm.
who will be there. We do our mm-hmm. reviews
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, you're doing well in this area. You've done well in this area.
Okay.
We set objectives.
That's nice.
Clear from inception. We spelled out what we wanted, what we expected.
Mm-hmm.
And even these been evolving with time.
Mm-hmm.
And remember those days we wanted children.
Yeah.
Now children came. We needed to raise them the godly way.
Yes.
So having them was a met objective, a realizable objective.
Mm-hmm.
Now the issue is to raise them. And we stand here, we sit here to the glory of God with all humility to thank God that our children have gone through the teenage age, they've never given us any problem.
Mm.
But it all began by putting God first. And so to the men out there, we may have made mistakes, we may have gone wrong, we may have mistreated our spouses, we have mistreated our families. Like we said earlier on, we serve a God of a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
Be intentional. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't take away anything from me saying sorry to her,
mm-hmm.
from me saying sorry to God,
mm-hmm.
from me saying sorry to my children. I'm not a perfect being.
Yeah.
But God is perfecting me.
That's true.
I'm aware of my wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
I need to come back to God.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's through that I will be corrected.
Mm. Mm. Let's talk about infidelity, a topic often not really spoken about. There are some people who enter marriage, and actually in a society where we are now, I can all, in all honesty say infidelity is viewed as it's a normal thing in marriages. It's a normal thing now. sometimes how perhaps maybe a wife would be scared to go and speak to her mother-in-law and even say, my husband is cheating on me. Even your father-in-law cheated on me, so it's okay, you won't die, So let's talk about infidelity. What really is the stance of infidelity when we're talking about marriage and what is accepted, what is not?
I just want to quickly quote the scripture mm-hmm. that has kept me
mm-hmm.
and that has held me.
Okay.
That is according to Job chapter 1 and Job 31 and verse 1.
Okay.
I have made a covenant with my eyes.
Mm.
Why then should I think? Should I think upon a maid? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Other translation says, why should I look upon another maid? Or why should I have other ideas?
Mm.
And the way the Bible also in Matthew talks about that, if you look at a woman lustfully,
mm-hmm.
that's why. So nothing wrong with looking at a woman, but when you go beyond the look, that's where the sin comes in. So meaning that it is in the mind.
True.
It's not in the physical, but it's in the mind.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things I trained myself from inception.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as long as it's not godly, my mind should not even entertain. I mean, even to date, I can look at a woman, oh, she's beautiful, mm-hmm. she's lovely, she's mm-hmm. like, but she's not mine. I have my own.
Exactly.
Who God has blessed me with.
Yes.
So, infidelity for me is a no-go area, and it's not something that I would even entertain, or it's not something that I would say, oh, we are human beings. Mm-hmm. No, once in a while, you can do that. It's okay. No. For me, that's a no-go area. Mm-hmm. And my encouragement to men out there or to women out there, don't entertain that. Mm-hmm. And I'm also aware of the consequences of the sin of infidelity.
Yes.
And the sin mm-hmm. of immorality. Mm-hmm. How that the Bible talks about that you are reduced to like a piece of bread.
True.
Now imagine me who the Bible says I have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
And I give up all that to go and think about the mind of me to be like a piece of bread.
Which is $15 Namibian.
Exactly.
That's your worth. You've become value of $15.
Yeah. But what has helped me also is to set boundaries.
Yeah.
You know, I've set boundaries in such a way that I cannot go beyond certain limits or levels.
Mm.
The way I relate to my wife, I cannot relate to another woman.
True.
The way I treat her, I cannot treat any other woman.
Mm.
And so even where I feel a hug, I feel a handshake is uncomfortable mm-hmm. for me or for that person, I'll not do that.
Mm.
And I don't feel bad or guilt about it.
Wonderful.
And the idea is to deal with that. And you know, in the past, infidelity just used to be physical. Oh, that one is going, that one is going. But do you know that nowadays we are dealing with a lot of emotional infidelity?
Mm.
People being connected to their exes, people being connected to people they love, people being connected. Maybe, let me just give an example.
Yeah.
Let's say you are the least to say, I want to marry a tall person, I want to marry a light person, I want to marry this. And then the person you married, maybe there's only two of that.
Yeah.
And if you're not careful, you begin to look for the other three in the other women.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So you get satisfaction for these two from your spouse. And then the other three, you look for anybody who has them. And you find that you are attached emotionally to them.
Yes.
You want to talk to them. You want to connect. You want them to make you laugh.
That's also infidelity?
Yes. I mean, eventually, what will stop you now
from yes. giving up?
And especially for us men, you find that you want to be good to that because you feel you are getting satisfaction.
Yes.
Now, this is a lady, this is a woman. And for her, she doesn't have anything to give you. Eventually, she'll be like, oh, to appreciate this man, let me give myself.
Mm.
And it starts there.
So true.
So the best is anything. This is why I always say, even if she's, I joke with her, even if she may look, has added some kilos now. I still see the road that I made
2 years
ago.
But Pastor, you also not like that. Anyway.
Yesterday, I had a conversation with our eldest daughter. We were talking.
Yeah.
So she was telling me, I weighed myself. I'm weighing 54.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow, that's how much your mother weighed, by the way, when we
got married.
She was that small. But guess what? When I see her, I still see that very small, young daughter.
What do you mean? I'm still beautiful.
No, small.
No,
it's like small.
It's a joke. Yeah, but can I just add something to that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to infidelity,
yeah,
it's just the same way we purpose that we were not going to sin against God.
Yes.
And we vowed before God not to sin against him, you know, sexually. It's the same way you can purpose together in your heart, even agree,
yeah,
like we are not going to sin against each other,
okay,
like sexually.
Yeah.
That's what we did. We were very intentional. So we said, we in our courtship, we talked. This is why it's very important to put your expectations out there and discuss them. That's what
during
we
do courtship
in premarital counseling.
Yeah.
We make people discuss their expectations and agree on certain things that are foundational.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one of the things that we are standing on even now. Like we agreed, like you sin sexually, you go. we part ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are Christians. Yes. That one.
Can,
no.
That one is a.
Yeah. So.
Is that a, that has been put on the table that.
Yes. That's us. That's what we said. Just like we said, we are not going to sin against God. We won't fornicate. We won't have sex. We can do any other things, but we won't have sex until we get married.
Yeah.
In the 7 years, we also said, if I catch you, you've committed adultery, you go. There's no negotiating. We go our separate
ways. Wow. So then we everyone is holding it.
But that is us.
That is you.
We don't know about other people. Yes. There's also a place of forgiveness.
Of course, of course.
There's also a place of forgiveness. But that is us. That is what we committed to being faithful. Now, like
I'm sorry, mommy, why are you still there? In other words, you're the first couple that I'm hearing say this. But then, in other words, everyone will now hold their part to say, I need to grab and hold on to my marriage so as not to lose it. Yes. With that, it's not a mistake. I don't think it's a mistake.
It's never a mistake. Mm-hmm. It's something that is very intentional. Somebody's spiked or
Yes. But let's quickly pause here for a commercial break, but I'll be back. All right. So sorry. We'll be back shortly. Stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
It's Christmas. It's Christmas. Es ist Weihnachten.
Can you feel the spirit of the season?
For Christmas, I am back.
Shop that check because wishes you a Merry Christmas.
Don't have the capacity to build. Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And we are back. This is Family Dynamics. Of course, we're talking about importance of marriage and laying the right foundation today. Now, Ms. Rhonda, you were busy saying something.
Yes, I was talking about how couples should be intentional about staying faithful to one another, but also especially as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something my husband has always said, because I told him when we were courting already, like, you cheat on me, we separate.
Yeah.
And then he also agreed to that. And he also told me, like, you know what? I won't cheat on you, not because I love you so much, not because you are the most amazing woman.
Yes.
It's because I fear God. Remember, we stayed pure in courtship because we feared God first. Our vows were, I made a vow, not because I had him. I didn't even meet him. Maybe one of these days I'll tell the story of that person I talked about, like there was somebody who was pursuing me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Even that one who was a friend to me, he never touched me because I feared God. All right?
Yeah.
I feared God. So it's not about me committed to him. I mean, anything can happen.
Yes.
Now, how have we achieved the part of being faithful to one another after so many years? 32 years is not a joke. We meet people, you know. There have been times when I've gone outside the country to study, and he even knows I'm with a man. He even actually prefers, if I'm going somewhere, at least there's a man there who he knows can protect me, and I'm moving with him.
Yes.
We are going shopping, and I'm telling him, oh, I'm with this one.
Yes.
But then What we've done is, like we said, is to know and draw boundaries. Wow. You have to draw boundaries in such a way that you don't even allow emotional infidelity to come in, you know? So, yeah. Go ahead.
The next time you come back to the studio, remind me to talk about emotional infidelity.
Okay, all right. Okay. So where you cheat emotionally, you are finding satisfaction in being with this person, laughing with them, and not your partner. And this happens a lot. There are so many couples who are miserable in their homes. You know, they don't even joke. But if you see a husband just goes outside who wasn't talking in a home, they are already talking with another lady and they are laughing, maybe with colleagues, things like that. So we are intentional about setting boundaries. Now, if there have been people who've pursued us in our marriage or in our courtship, yes, they've been there. We fight infidelity together. This is our secret. Mm. So if somebody starts showing interest in my husband, yes, he'll tell me, you know, there's this lady at the office. The way she's, you know, being good to me, I don't think it's just a normal thing. So you say, you know what, I'll arrange that you meet her. And then when we meet, you see if they don't have good intentions, he will introduce me to them so I can befriend them. Aww. If they don't have good intentions, they will just disappear. And so it's been, even if somebody even comes, you know, out like that,
yes,
straightforward,
yes,
and they make their intentions known to me, I'll just invite them home. I've done that. Invited somebody home and introduced the person to
my husband.
And they've become friends and the person has developed respect. So we fight it together. We don't hide. Because in hiding, that's where you fall.
Mm.
You start protecting this person because she's a friend with benefits. You can go for lunch. She can buy you lunch. He can buy you lunch. You laugh. You come home. But then we've drawn boundaries. So we check upon each other. If we also promised each other, if you feel you are being tempted to go for the other person,
yes,
it's only me who can help him.
That's true, though.
I'm being tempted. This is the reason why I'm being tempted. She's always with me. And then together we come up with a strategy. Transparency. They were both naked. They were not ashamed. So there's nothing that we do not talk about.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that's why that's a model. Even when it comes to counseling, we don't do counseling one-on-one.
Okay.
It's a couple. It must be both. Only if she's dealing with the women, yes. I'm dealing with the men, yes. But it has to be both. Because it's very easy. For instance, me is counseling a lady.
Mm.
And I'll tell her all the nice things.
Mm-hmm.
But if she's there, she'll say, where did that come from?
Mm.
You've never done that. You've never... Ideally, this is why we do counseling
together.
So that a person has a balanced thing. It's not masculine, it's not feminine, but it's a balanced thing, and especially in the light of the Word of God.
Dear listeners, don't worry. They will be back. No, Ms. Rhonda, let's talk about, let me give you a few minutes to talk about, couples depriving one another, sexually, and then Pastor Stanley will come in and then we'll close off.
And this is a big problem. It's a very big problem because, you know, what brought us together, even if we, you know, we can love each other, we used to call each other Brother Stanley, Sister Rhoda, because we now started going to church together. Yeah. We were both Christians. But at the end of the day, what brought us together was erotic love. In marriage, you cannot get married just because you are feeling pity for somebody or because you've been friends or things like that.
Yeah.
No, you get married because you are attracted to them sexually.
Yeah.
And this is the problem. When we become now we are married, we neglect that part. That's why there's a lot of infidelity. Yeah. You neglect that part. You are not, remember, erotic love is only fulfilled through sex.
Mm-hmm.
It ends up in sex. That's when it's fulfilled. And erotic love is the one that brings you, makes you get married. You look forward. Even if we stayed away from, you know, fulfilling it, you know, sexually, we were still attracted and we looked forward. Mm-hmm. We wondered mm-hmm. how it was going to be mm-hmm. if we go all the way and stuff like yeah. that in yeah. that area. Mm-hmm. And it was wonderfully fulfilled when we got married. Now, yes. imagine you are now staying away, depriving each other. What it can do? It drives you apart. The Bible says they became one flesh. It was because they met sexually.
Yes.
They fulfilled the erotic love. Uh-huh. So erotic love shouldn't be, you know, neglected in marriage. If you are having problems, it's better to seek knowledge on how to fulfill it. Sometimes people are frustrated because it's not fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
The way they do it, they mm-hmm. don't have knowledge. They are not knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
Seek knowledge together and make sure you are enjoying it. And by the way, there's nothing like we're a young couple. We enjoy it more than the other couple.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you mastering the art of fulfilling one another, of fulfilling each other sexually.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also, the knowledge is available. People who've gone before you can
yeah.
teach you. So, what I'm saying is we shouldn't neglect that. It's a problem nowadays. And nowadays it's not only men crying. Women are even starved the more in mm. most homes, by the way. So women are even the ones that are crying. And sometimes it's lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's these things of, men not, you know, like having eyes focused on
yeah.
one person.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of things that are contributing. Sometimes it's conflicts that are not resolved.
Mm-hmm.
That also goes to the bedroom, but we shouldn't deprive each other.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many things that we should work on
mm-hmm.
for us to be fulfilled in that area.
Okay.
Because any other area, be it financial, whatever, affects your sex life, you know, at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be intentional also about that. I wish it was just a topic on its own, but one...
They should look forward to one Saturday on Life Lessons. Pastor Stanley?
Yes, just in a few words for me, it's not right to deprive each other sexually, because when you do that,
mm-hmm.
you're actually pushing your spouse to go outside
mm-hmm.
and look for it.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible says, it's for this reason a man shall leave his mother and his father,
mm-hmm.
and the two shall be joined together.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways we are joined together is through sexual intimacy.
Yeah.
So you cannot, that's a right within the confines of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why for us as Christians, we believe it's only kept for marriage. You can only enjoy sexual relationship in
marriage
and to your spouse.
Mm.
And Proverbs also talks about, this is what has been a guiding thing for me, in Proverbs chapter 5 verse 15 says, drink waters out of thy own cistern
mm.
and running waters out of thy own well.
Mm.
Verse 19 says, let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love.
Mm.
So we are not to deprive each other
mm.
sexually.
Mm.
And you know, sex is one of the most beautiful things that God
mm.
made
mm.
for couples.
Uh-huh.
And this is why even in the cases where it's been abused, people have felt connected to those people. Supposed to be enjoyed within the confines of life.
Mm.
I think for now, let me end there.
Yeah. It's been such a wonderful time having you with me in studio. It's definitely, I can confidently tell them that this is part one. This is just part one. So Miss Rhonda, thank you so much for making time for us right here.
You're welcome. We enjoy this. We can talk all night.
Yeah.
So thank you for having us. And thank you, listeners.
I'm so glad. Pastor Stanley, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Happy, for having us.
Okay.
And, thank you to the listeners.
Yeah.
And we hope that this has blessed somebody.
Yeah.
And that they'll find their true love. And live the best life.
Okay.
Marriage is to be enjoyed.
Yes.
And not to be endured.
Mm.
Please Get married.
Nice. Tell them, please tell them. Okay, there you had it from marriage counselors. That is Pastor Stanley Lyatumba and Miss Rhonda Lyatumba. Now, of course, you've had it from them. And like I said, this is definitely going to be episode one. We will have episode two. Now, you know that I do host Life Lessons on Saturdays, right? From 1900 hours up to 2100 hours. But if you would love this conversation and would love to listen to it again, please head over to our podcast session. session, download the Eagle FM app or listen to it via the Eagle FM website. Nonetheless, do stay tuned for other programs coming your way right here on Eagle FM. There are yet more conversations coming your way. Now, this is family, has been family dynamics today. We were looking at the aspect of marriage and just ensuring that we get it right. Now, of course, one takeaway home is that you should love one another, respect one another, and obviously walk together and be transparent with each other. Honestly, they were both naked and they were not ashamed. So transparency is very important in marriage. Transparency in every area. So that at the end of the day, we raise up families, or we raise up children, beautiful fruits from our marriage. Now, with that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace as you anticipate for the next show. From Inda Hafa, happy as usual, it is goodbye. I'll see you again tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM.